You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, tonight I've got a little bit of information to give you folks. So you might want to get pen and paper and jot this down. It is, well, I believe it's important. You may or may not. It's up to you to make that decision, but nevertheless, listen carefully. I'll be right back. Folks, I got to tell you something. Putting in this new piece of equipment has just destroyed my feel for everything. For all the years that I've been operating this studio, I had it down pat. I knew exactly what I was doing. I could look at a level and tell if we were going out okay or not. Since I put in this Gittner, all the levels are off. I don't know what the levels are. Last night, when I was talking to Patty from Texas, I could barely hear her in my earphones, which are coming right off the tape recorder, which is recording the broadcast from the main output. And it should, you know, what I get on these earphones should be exactly what you're listening to. But people called me and said that they heard Patty just as loud as they heard me. And they said it's the best quality they've ever heard come out of this broadcast. And they thought the quality was really great before. So I'm stymied. I no longer know what's going on in here. But I guess, just like before, after 2 or 3 years, I'll get the hang of it. Now, for all of those of you who do not get your mail at your home for whatever reason and do not like to receive it at the post office for whatever reason and may have taken up boxes in places like mailbox, etc., and other of these mail drop places, using assumed names or any name other than your own or any address other than your real address for whatever purposes. We all have reasons for doing those things once in a while. Have nothing to do with illegal activity or anything else, just that some of us like to maintain our privacy, especially today when there are more snoops out to collect information about us than ever before in the history of the world. Be advised that the United States Postal Service has revised the regulations for commercial mail receiving agencies. In other words, mail drops. In other words, mailboxes, etc. In other words, someplace where you may have contracted to have mail delivered, which will be forwarded to you under some other name and some other address. You can't do that anymore. You cannot do it anymore. There's a number of new regulations that affect you. as a private mailbox customer. You have to fill out a revised PS, Postal Service Form 1583. It has to be completed for each person receiving mail at any mail drop address before June 25th, 1999. If you don't do it before then, they close your box and that's it. So you have to complete that form. And when you complete the form, you have to come to the counter and you have to present two forms of identification, and one must be a photo ID. If your identification information does not have your current home address, then, well, then you're in trouble. New regulations require that mail addressed to box holders at mail drops conform to a new format. You have to have your name, that's your real name, your box number, the address of the mail drop, and the city, state, and zip. And then if the U.S. Postal Service wants to know where you really live and verify that that really is your name, they have to see the card, Form 1583, which is certified by an employee at the mail drop that they did see two pieces of valid identification, one with a photo that matches your face, and that they did verify that that is your name, and that is, in fact, your correct address. If you don't do this, you cannot ever receive mail at these mail drop places. The United States Post Office will send it back to wherever it came from without delivering it. Now listen to me very carefully. The government is making sure that you cannot remain anonymous anymore. You cannot remain anonymous anymore. You even have to put your telephone number on this form. If it's a business, you have to say what kind of business. If it's a firm, you have to name each member whose mail is to be delivered. If a corporation, you have to give names and addresses of the officers of the corporation. Blah, 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 blah. Big Brother is infringing once again into our privacy. And there's no way you can get around it. No way you can get around it at all. And so, what I recommend that you do is get on a computer, go to harvest-trust.org, click on the Offshore Secrets Network page, go there, get the guaranteed discount number from that page, click on the Offshore Secrets Network link at the bottom of that page, go to Offshore Secrets Network, and get yourself an offshore mail drop, guaranteed anonymous. You don't even have to open it in your own name. You don't have to give them a social security number. You don't have to even have the mail sent on to your real address where you really live. I mean, you can maintain your privacy. And yes, it costs money. And if your privacy isn't worth money, don't even bother looking at it. To some of us, our privacy is worth an awful lot. So go to harvest-trust.org. Right there on our homepage, click on the Offshore Secrets Network. You'll see another page come up that will have your guaranteed discount number on there. Use that number when you order your mail drop service, and you'll get a 10% discount off the already more than reasonable prices, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're somebody who needs that kind of service, and you haven't got it right now, then that's where you can get it. If you're somebody who has a mail drop within the continental limits of the United States of America, and you don't want these intrusive rules to intrude upon your privacy, then go to mailboxes, etc., or whatever other mail drop service you have, close your box, go to our homepage, go to the Offshore Secrets Network page, get your guaranteed discount number, and go to Offshore Secrets Network and get your offshore mail drop. And your privacy is guaranteed. Okay, folks, I mean, it's important for some of us to do this. And so that's your opportunity. And you may do that right now, if you wish, while you're listening to The Hour of the Time. Trent Lott, the majority leader. Trent Lott, the majority leader in the United States Senate, today called the China report scary. Oh yes, folks, today, Senate Republican leader Trent Lott says that the House Committee's report on spying by China on United States government and industry secrets, what could be the biggest breach of national security in our lifetimes. Lott and other senators were briefed on the report in a bipartisan meeting on Wednesday, that's yesterday. Lott said, listen to this very carefully, quote, "The hair stood up on the back of my neck because it's scary," end quote. And, of course, that's not all. You all heard what happened this morning at 8.03 a.m. in Conyers, Georgia. I hate to say this yet once again, but I warned you. I told you it wasn't over. I told you it would happen again. And I told you it would probably happen again in another school very soon. And it did. And it's still not over. It's going to continue to happen until they have every gun in this country. Every gun. You watch the United States Senate wimp and roll over the entire Republican contingent, literally, voted down gun registration for pawn shops and gun shows. And then the very next day came crawling in with their tails between their legs and flopped over, bellies in the air. Bellies in the air. Well, the socialists thought they had it won, ladies and gentlemen, and then all of a sudden they started backpedaling again. What in the world is going on? And when their anti-gun legislation was in danger of not being passed, guess what? Exactly 30 days after the shootings in Littleton, Colorado, a 15-year-old boy walks into a local high school in Conyers, Georgia, and opened fire with a pistol and a shotgun. He was apprehended within 10 minutes. And as they were trying to apprehend him, he stuck the pistol in his mouth to commit suicide with the classic profile, he stuck the pistol in his mouth to commit suicide, and they overcame him and stopped him from doing it. Held him until sheriff's deputies arrived, at which time he was placed under arrest. Wow. And remember, I predicted all of these things years ago, and I told you when Jonesboro happened last year that it was not over, it would happen again. It did at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, and I told you then it would not be over yet. It would happen yet again and again and again. And after Columbine, I told you that the next incident would probably happen within a reasonably short period of time. They have to keep the momentum going. The agenda is gun control, to disarm all Americans. You watch this gun control issue pick up momentum like it's never had before in history. And it's all based upon a lie. And everybody knows that it just has not occurred to them yet. It's a lie. They say guns are more available to children than ever before in history, and it's a lie. When I was a boy, ladies and gentlemen, there was no gun control whatsoever. The first gun control ever passed in this country was in 1968. Since then, there have been literally thousands of gun control laws passed throughout all the different 50 states and the federal government. Now, I have to backtrack just a little bit because what I said isn't entirely true. Back in the 30s, a gun control law was passed. It restricted the sale of sawed-off shotguns, fully automatic machine guns, and silencers. That, if you'll remember, was the era of Al Capone and the St. Valentine's Day Massacre and all of those kinds of things. So that was really the first gun control passed in this country. It was the only gun control. And prior to that, you could walk into any store anywhere and buy a fully automatic machine gun of any kind. Sawed-off shotguns, silencers, whatever you wanted. But there was no gun control after that until 1968. And since 1968, there have been literally thousands of gun control laws passed across this country. Thousands, ladies and gentlemen. Literally thousands. So it's a lie. Guns are not more readily available to children today. They're just not. It's not true. They are lying to you, yet once again, on top of the mountains and mountains and mountains of lies that they have told us before. For the entire history of this country, up until recently, everybody owned guns and there were no restrictions. Anybody could walk into a gun shop up until the 1930s, or even a department store, or even a five and dime store, and buy a fully automatic machine gun. Even today, you can still buy a fully automatic machine gun if you pay the tax. When they went after David Koresh, demonizing him, telling you that he owned machine guns, they didn't tell you that all he had to do to make it 100% perfectly legal was pay a $200 tax, because that's all the tax was at that particular time, $200. And $200 isn't worth killing anybody for. It's not even worth the bullets that they took to shoot the dogs that belonged to the Branch Davidians. It certainly wasn't worth the payroll of all of the agents and the cattle cars and the cost of all the teenage ninja jackbooted thug turtle suits that they were wearing. It wasn't worth the lives of those agents or the lives of the Branch Davidians, but they did it for 200 stupid, silly, idiotic dollars! Don't you get it? And to top it all off, David Koresh never in his life owned a machine gun, and neither did any other person who was a member of the church, Branch Davidian. But these people don't care about lies. They don't care about anything. They only care about their agenda. And their agenda is to enslave the population of the world in a totalitarian socialist world government. It's what Kosovo is all about. I hope you're listening very carefully to me. Or will you be one of the stupid jerks who gets on board this wave of emotionalism and rides it all the way into the beach of enslavement, supporting the stripping away of the only protection against total tyranny and despotism that the American people have. The only reason that the Founding Fathers gave us the second article in amendment was to protect us from government, not to hunt. Not to target shoot. Not to be sportsmen. But to defend ourselves against the old despotism, the old tyranny from which they escaped in the old world. The tyranny of kings and monarchs and dictators and religions. That's right. And the craziest people you would never suspect to be supporting this stuff are supporting it. Some minority religions who have been persecuted for their entire history are supporting it. Not understanding one of the major goals of the New World Order is to eliminate all existing religions. So why are these people on the bandwagon? You would think that the Jewish people would have learned their lesson from Hitler's shenanigans, but they haven't. You would think that the Mormons have learned their lessons, but they haven't. Despite their history of being persecuted, they are one of the greatest persecuting groups of people in this country. There's more lies floating around on this creek. This creek called America. You couldn't get your canoe in there to take a ride to the other side if you wanted to. Listen to this. Published by our friend Charlie Reese. Boy, Charlie Reese is at the top of my list, I got to tell you. This guy has got it pegged. Listen to this. Charlie Reese, published in the Orlando Sentinel, May 18, 1999. Tragedy-fueled push for more gun control is based on a lie. Bravo, Charlie Reese. See, I've been saying this for years and years and years and years and years. I warned you about gun control before anybody else ever even thought about it. Except for Bernadette Smith. Or Bernadine Smith, I should say. She and I were the ones crying in the wilderness about gun control. We had it pegged when nobody else even dreamed such a thing was happening. Well, here's Charlie Reese now. He's caught up to us. Tragedy-fueled push for more gun control is based on a lie, published in the Orlando Sentinel, May 18, 1999. The current push for more federal gun control is fueled by the Littleton, Colorado tragedy and based on a lie, which is repeated over and over, not only by gun control ideologues, but by talk show hosts and politicians. The big lie is that guns are more accessible today. This is factually false. It is demonstrably false. The truth is that, despite the Second Amendment, guns are less accessible today than at any time in American history. There are more than 20,000 gun control laws and regulations already on the books. Before 1968, there was no federal regulation at all of ordinary handguns and long guns. The only federal regulation was one passed in the 1930s that did not ban, but required a special license to purchase fully automatic weapons, sawed-off shotguns, and silencers. Before that legislation, anybody who wanted to could buy a submachine gun, fully automatic, at most any store, without filling out any paperwork at all. Guns are to America what the sword is to Japan. We would not exist as a country today without guns. For the majority of America's history, guns were as common in an American household as a broom or a cooking pot. Today, most states will not allow children to own a BB gun or to shoot one unless an adult is present. I received my Daisy BB gun at age 5, and I shot it unsupervised. I received a .22 caliber rifle for my 8th birthday, and I already possessed my own pistol, a .380 semi-automatic, which had been given to me by my brother-in-law who had fought in Normandy. It was among a duffel bag full of pistols he brought back from the war. American soldiers brought home all kinds of enemy weapons, pistols, rifles, true assault rifles, submachine guns. Today, even an admiral or a general is forbidden to bring back a rifle as a souvenir. There have been changes, and one change is that guns are less accessible than ever before. Another is that more and more Americans have been born and reared in big cities where they had no opportunity to use a gun recreationally or for personal security. Another is that, with the end of the draft back in the 1970s, fewer and fewer Americans have an opportunity to be trained in weapons use in the military. Another change, probably related to the others, is that more journalists and politicians are simply ignorant of firearms, though that never stops those people from talking about and wanting to regulate firearms ownership and use. What happened in Littleton had nothing to do with firearms. Every other kid at that high school had the same access to firearms as the two shooters, and that's true in all the other school shootings. If you're going to argue that all the other kids had the same access to culture and they didn't go berserk, therefore you can't blame culture, then you must acknowledge that the same argument applies to firearms. What you are seeing all around you is the old Hegelian principle at work. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. First, you create or call attention to a problem. Then you generate hysteria about it, and then, voila, you offer a solution. In this case, you have two kids go berserk. You fan hysteria and then propose, as a solution, restrictions on the right of all Americans to acquire and own firearms. The land of the free is gradually becoming the land of the unfree. There are Americans, you know, who don't believe in freedom. At least not for others. We should never forget that humans are humans regardless of their nationality. There are always some people who have a terrible lust to control the lives of other people. Better to be free in a society with risks than a safe slave in a dictatorship. Bravo, Charlie Reese. Bravo, Charlie Reese. Bravo, Charlie Reese, again and again and again and again. Bravo. Bravo, bravo. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something? Isn't that something, ladies and gentlemen? Why is it that nobody understands these things? I mean, it's very simple to think these things out. It's very simple. It's not hard for anybody to do, but hardly anybody does any thinking anymore. Why do you suppose that is?
I rise up from my arms. She says, I guess you call this love, I call it room service.
There's a war. Oh, yes, there's a war. We're engaged in a war. There's a war being waged against freedom all over the world. And especially against Americans, because we have the most freedom. We were, in fact, up until a few years ago, the only free people who have existed in the history of humanity on the face of this earth. And one of the reasons that we were free is because we have guns. And I'm telling you right now, you better not ever give up your guns for any reason whatsoever. For any reason whatsoever. If somebody comes to take your guns, give them your guns, bullets first. Bullets first. And don't let them have the actual rifle or pistol until you don't have any more bullets left. That's my message. That was the message of the Founding Fathers. That is our right under the second article in amendment, which says, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That is the active clause. That's the only clause that counts. The people in the law, in relation to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, has always been interpreted by every court as every single person, every single human being in this country, bar none. Bar none. Phones are open. 520-333-4578. What do you think about this? And of course, we'll get to check out our Gintner once again tonight. See if it's working a little better. Last night I was going from a balanced connection on the Gintner to RCA connections on the mixer. Today I changed it to balanced to balanced. And so that should... That should help. I don't know. We'll find out. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. Good evening.
Good evening.
Bill from Maryland.
Hi, Bill.
Excellent comments as usual, opening on your program.
Thank you.
Two things. Do you think there's ever a chance you can get Charlie Reese on your program doing an interview?
I don't know.
I think that would be a... I'd love to hear that. Just a thought. Anyway, I watched this evening our... I hate to use the term president... And his female companion at in Colorado. And what really struck me, Bill, was how can this guy and how can that woman get up in front of those people, talk about, quote, the love we have for the students, and, oh, we're so concerned for the safety of our children, yet he is one of the main architects of the bombing of hundreds of innocent civilians in the former Yugoslavia.
Very, very simple. They're both chronic liars. They've never told the truth in probably their entire history. And so it's very easy for them to get up and tell another lie. I mean, that's what they did. That's their stock in trade. That's how William Jefferson Clinton built his whole political life around lies. He is... a chronic, uncurable liar. He's also a communist.
Yeah, he's also a con man, and he's conning an awful lot of people. You made one other comment. Does anyone think anymore? I don't think so. I think people are sitting in front of that boob tube and taking it all in and letting their minds be stupefied.
Well, I think you're probably right.
Okay, Bill, an excellent program. We'll let someone else call in, and we're hearing you fine on the air and on the phone.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Good night.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. How about you? When you heard about the shooting in Conyers, Georgia this morning, did you jump on the bandwagon to take guns away from the American citizens? You see, it's already illegal. What all of these children have done, it was already illegal. It's illegal to shoot somebody. It's illegal to shoot somebody. Whether it's legal to own a gun or not, it's illegal to shoot somebody. Now, let me ask you this. If somebody doesn't care about shooting somebody, what makes you think they would care about obtaining an illegal weapon illegally? Do you understand what I'm saying? If I want to kill somebody, and I don't care if I kill them, I don't care how much hate injury and terrible destruction that I inflict upon this person and their family and all their loved ones and friends, if I don't care about that, what makes you think that I would care whether or not it was lawful or legal for me to buy a gun? What makes you think that that would even enter my mind? What makes you think that I wouldn't go steal a gun if I couldn't buy one? If I really wanted to do that and didn't care about that. Where do all these silly twits like Rosie O'Donnell and the rest of the socialist twit, air-brain, no thought in their life squad, where do they get these lame brain notions of theirs that if they make guns illegal, nobody's going to get shot? I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who wants to kill somebody bad enough and doesn't care about the consequences of that action isn't going to stop to wonder how they can get a gun legally. That's not even going to enter their mind. They're not going to care. They'll steal one. They'll buy one on the black market. They'll make one. You know, when I was a young boy, my brother and I made zip guns that actually shot 22 bullets, and it was not illegal for us to do it then. Anybody could make a gun in their own garage if they wanted to, and lots of people did. Did you know that? Did you know that I can make a gun right now, today, just with what I've got around this house? I don't even need to go out and buy anything. What the hell is wrong with these people? Well, we know the answer to that. You see, their goal is not to stop criminals. Their goal is not to stop children from walking into school and shooting other children. The fact is, you can't do it. You can't stop somebody from killing somebody else if they really want to do it, unless you can read their mind and get those thoughts in their mind first and then grab them and throw them in a padded cell. That's the only way you can do it. That's the only way that you can do it. You see, their agenda is take the guns away from everybody. So that when the American people finally discover what's going on and where we're headed, they won't be able to take gun in hand and rise up against their oppressors and put down the tyranny. That's the real reason. That's the real reason. What do you think? What do you think about all this, folks? Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Al from up in Wisconsin.
Hi, Al from up in Wisconsin.
You are 100% correct.
Well, I hope so.
Absolutely.
I'd hate to be wrong on this one, but if I am, I hope somebody will prove it to me.
From my cold, dead arms, are they going to get mine?
Good for you.
Listen, a friend of mine got on the internet, and he checked up on Australia since they disarmed it.
Yes.
This is the facts that came out. Homicide up 3.2. Assault up 8.6. Robbery 4.4. Victoria Providence homicide 300%. It went up 300%. That's more increase in 1 year than in over the past 25 years.
Yeah, that's what always happens. Remember when they enacted gun control in New York City and Washington, D.C.?
Right.
Those became the highest murder rate cities in the country.
Absolutely.
Literally overnight.
Absolutely. These people have got to realize what,
Oh, you're barking up the wrong tree. They don't got to realize nothing, and they're not going to. Only thing that they want to realize is their socialist world government, utopian world, that's not going to be utopian at all. It's their own deluded mind. You know, the air between their ears is deluded, and they're seeing these holographic...
Well, I've got one more thing on that homework on the Social Security regarding Wisconsin's hunting license and fishing license.
Yeah.
I'll make it quick and I'm out of here.
Okay.
What I found out was it's a state program, state-funded, state-implemented program between Wisconsin, and they're using this between Minnesota and Wisconsin to get these deadbeat dads that owe money. For back child support.
Oh, that's just the excuse.
Absolutely it is.
That's baloney.
And, man, once they got that number, they said, well, we're going to give you a regular DNR number thereafter.
What's a DNR number?
Well, the first time you apply for a fishing license or a hunting license, you have to use your Social Security. Now they got it. Every time you apply thereafter, they say we're going to give you a special number for your name. And it's going to be exactly like what you were saying about the mailboxes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Once they got it down, now they got it.
That's right. It has nothing to do with deadbeat dads. I mean,
absolutely not. That's their excuse.
That's just the excuse.
Yep. And they sent out a list, sent me home with a list, frequently questions asked about the requirements. Why is DNR requiring a Social Security number when purchasing a hunting license? A fishing license, a state law was passed in the spring of 1998 that requires the department to collect a Social Security number prior to issuing hunting and fishing license. This provision enables the denial of license to those who are delinquent in child support. This law can be found in Section 29.024 parentheses 2 small g parentheses of the Wisconsin statutes. It's not a federal mandated deal.
No, it's not. But let me tell you something that you can use. They cannot ask you for a Social Security number and demand that you produce it. Nor can they deny you a license because you failed to give it to them. You see, all state laws must conform to federal laws and to the Constitution.
Okay.
The federal law says clearly, no one can make you give them your Social Security number except federal government agencies where that number is absolutely required in order to perform whatever function you have requested from the federal government. Does not include states.
Okay.
This has already been tested with driver's licenses.
Yeah.
States tried to mandate that you had to give your Social Security number in order to obtain a driver's license.
Right.
It was challenged in court, and they lost.
Uh-huh.
Now, you do not have to give your Social Security number.
Yeah.
But if they refuse to give you the license because you refuse to give it, the only way you're going to win is to take them to court.
Okay. I understand.
Thanks a million, Bill.
You're welcome.
Have a beautiful night, and God bless you. And one more thing. Do you think you could get pool? I mean, this is just a question I'm asking.
You leave my family out of everything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Thank you very much. 520-333-4578 is the number. Whoops. Boy, I screwed that up. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. You know what I did? I went and turned on the speakerphone instead of turning on the Gentner. Then I had to think for a split second how I'd undo that without cutting you off.
Okay. Anyway, well, I went through Keister. I probably screwed up, too. Got your book a month or so ago in a South Rose bookstore here in Omaha and Bellevue.
Uh-huh.
I'm working my way through it. It's a good book. It's dynamite. Everybody should buy The Old Bale Horse.
Thank you.
I got an old friend lives out in Utah, and he just called me on the phone tonight. He was down in our beloved state capitol the other day watching the unicameral in session. And then when they recessed for a little bit, he went down the hallway, and he started collaring some of the senators as they came out and started talking to them. He asked them, why do they have that gold fringe flag in the parliamentary chambers? You should have seen them scurrying like rats when the lights turned on and disappearing.
They don't like to have to answer that. They know the reason.
No, they know the reason. They sure do.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, they do. I thought that was pretty good, my old buddy Herb.
Yeah. Well, they don't want the public to know that we're not under the Constitution anymore.
There's a few of us up here in Omaha that are calling into a show on the local radio, WOW, called Cracker Barrel on Saturday mornings.
Uh-huh.
Some of us have been banned from that show for trying to speak the truth. Others of us still manage to get in once in a while, but I keep getting slam dunked off the air when I try to mention the Illuminati.
Oh.
This man, Mr. Rusty Clark, the local DJ on Saturday morning, he seems to be afraid to connect the dots. He's afraid of the FCC licensing procedure, I do believe. Afraid for his job or something. I haven't quite figured it out yet. The man was in the Navy once upon a time. He knows what's going on, but he won't admit it.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah, anyway. Well, keep on the good work, sir. There are those of us out here who are trying to help in our own little ways.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. The big number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill Cooper?
Yes, sir.
Brad from Dover, Florida.
Hello, Brad.
I'm on a portable phone out here, and your signal is coming in great. I heard your program last night. I'm about 100 feet from the main house, and you're coming in great.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I just want to let you know, I've been the one that has been sending you all those Charlie Reese articles for the last 2 or 3 months. I've noticed you got one early here tonight, and I was excited to hear it.
Well,
somehow you're getting the information a little earlier than I can send it to you.
I found out where they are on the web, on the Internet.
Yes, and I'm in the process of trying to contact Charlie Reese. I believe he knows a lot. I mean, I'm very surprised to actually hear him. See his articles in a mainline newspaper, and they keep letting him print this.
Well, that just amazes me. I mean, it just really is very extremely. It's more than extremely. It's extraordinary for any kind of mainstream media to print this kind of stuff.
I know, and I totally agree. And I want to contact him because it's almost when I read his articles every Tuesday and Thursday, I think, well, he must be listening to Bill Cooper.
You know, that's occurred to me. He might be listening to this broadcast. He doesn't have to be, you know.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I think if he is, he's playing it smart because he knows if he is, the man is definitely very intelligent in his knowledge of world history. And I've noticed it for all the time I've listened and read his articles. So I think either he's not totally going overboard to where they would just cut him off, but because he makes many references to many things that you've discussed in your Babylon series and whatnot about the Hegelian dialectic and all the New World Order. I mean, he uses terms that I am very surprised that they let get through. So I just want to let you know that I'm excited that he is basically on our side, and I'm gonna try to contact him and just let him know that his message is getting out to a lot more people than he probably thinks.
Good.
So that's all I wanted to say tonight. I'll let you somebody else get on the air.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Crazy people. Crazy people like me go crazy over people like you. Goofy people, daffy people, daffy people like me go crazy over things you do. While we are under the moon, the moon above, you've got me acting up like a loon. It must be love, crazy people.
Crazy person. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening.
This is not a crazy one.
Oh, we're all crazy.
Okay. Not
if I wasn't crazy, I wouldn't be doing this.
No, you sound pretty sane. I wouldn't put you...
It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke.
Now, here's something. I'm in contract selling a house here.
Okay.
And I had that thing about Social Security number for... I've always rebelled it. When I got my commercial driver's license, I made them give me the law on it. They said I could not renew my license without giving it to them. And
it's not true.
They did not give me a choice. And I got the law. And
you have a choice. You can sue them.
Right. That was what they said I could do, right. And I was in court once with someone who did do that. They handed their license back and said they had the right to drive. But
you better believe it.
He had trouble.
It's a constitutional right. They cannot take it away from you. Cannot.
Okay. Well, here I am with my lawyer last week. And when going through the contract, he talked about, oh, I need your Social Security number for the finalization of this. And I said, no, I don't use it. Oh, he said, no, you have to do it. He said, it's a federal law.
It is not. It's a federal law that you do not have to give your Social Security number to anybody.
Now, he's going to make me sign a paper. And then I said, well, I'll give you a wrong one. I said, I do that a lot.
Why don't you do it right? Why don't you go get the Federal Privacy Act and take it and show it to him and show him the penalty for somebody who violates it and tell him you'll take him to court if he does?
Okay, I'll put him to a challenge. That's no problem. But when he said, but this is what got me. When he said,
you're not going to win.
He up on it. He said, if I give him a wrong number, it's a felony.
Don't give him any number. You're not listening. You don't have to give him any Social Security number by law, and it's a federal law. Take the law to him and show it to him. If you don't want to do that, you're going to lose. You might as well go give it to him.
No, I won't give it to him. You say it's under Federal Privacy Act?
Yeah. See, you don't even know what you're talking about. You need to do the research in the law. You've got him beat hands down, but you don't even know it.
The trouble is when you deal with a lawyer.
Screw the lawyer. Lawyers are taught in law schools to deal with statute law, not constitutional law. And they, 9 times out of 10, don't know the law unless they've been dealing with that particular section of law for many, many years. If you do a search, you'll find out you don't have to. Do you know that Taco Bell lost millions of dollars because they made a person give them his Social Security number when he was hired and he didn't want to do it? And they told him he couldn't have the job unless he did. So he sued him. They had to pay him millions of dollars, and they still had to hire him without a Social Security number. Now you go down to Taco Bell and ask for an employment application. It says Social Security number, and then in small parentheses it says not required.
That's pretty good. Would that apply the same with the... You say, does that apply
Go read the law. I'm not your mother. I've already given you a whole bunch of free lessons here, but I'm not going to take you by the hand and walk you through this thing. You have to be responsible to do some research by yourself.
Correct. What was the name of the law?
Go find it.
Oh, okay.
I've only said it five times tonight, and you didn't hear it once. You go find it. Okay?
Yeah.
And don't forget to tell everybody, I was really mean to you. Oh, boy. I'm not mean to you. I'm forcing you to grow up. Just like your mommy and daddy should have done, only I'm really doing it. And it pisses you off, doesn't it? But you see, you are powerful. And the law is not complicated. It's not difficult. It's easy. The law is the easiest thing to understand that's ever been written because it must be clear. But you're all afraid of it. You're scared to death. You want me to tell you? What if I'm wrong? What if I tell you something wrong? You still got to go look it up to see if I'm right. Or else you're going to get yourself in even worse trouble. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, William. This is Jim calling from Yuma. Just amazed at these people here tonight. I really respect you for restraining yourself. The reason that I called... I very much respect your opinion. I kind of wanted to see, you know, we've talked kind of what's happened today with the shooting. What can we do? I'm a parent myself. What can we do as parents to keep an eye on our children so they don't wind up in this kind of situation where they're wanting to, you know, do violence against other people? Because obviously we don't want to take the guns away because, I mean, you know, as you said, that's our freedom. That's our last freedom.
Yeah, well, it's very simple. Give them lots of love. I mean, really love them. Discipline them. Make sure that they understand right from wrong. Make sure that they understand there's consequences for doing the wrong actions.
Okay? Do you think with our schools, the way that they
Wait a minute. You asked me a question. I'm trying to answer it for you. Be careful what they read and what they watch and who they associate with. There is a lot of truth to birds of a feather flock together. That if your children are hanging around with children that do bad things, and say bad things, and hurt other people, and steal, and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't matter what you do, they're eventually going to do what their friends are doing.
Okay.
Don't let them watch TV unless it's absolutely necessary.
Okay. Cut off the TV completely.
Yeah. In fact, you know what the best thing you can do with your TV?
What?
Take your TV, put it in the middle of the floor. If you've got a two-year-old child, give that two-year-old child a hammer and let him play with the TV.
Well, that's probably the way to do it. I guess the other question I had was, do you have some of, I know that you said you were, like, behind with orders and stuff like that. I, like I said the other time that I called your broadcast, I've listened to you for years. Do you have some of the early broadcast available, I guess, after you get caught up where a guy can order that? Or?
No. At the end of the year, we take them out of circulation, and we don't sell them. So, like, for instance, if you don't buy 1999 tapes during this year, you'll never see them again.
So if a guy has tapes from, like the early 90s, those are worth quite a bit then as far as because you can't get them anymore.
No, you can't get them. We retire the masters. We could keep on doing it until the masters are worn out, and then there wouldn't be any masters. But we save the masters for posterity, so to speak.
Yeah.
So there's a record of it.
But well, that's good, because I got a lot of those tapes, those older tapes, but I just didn't know if there were some of them that I just didn't have from the early broadcast.
Now, if you don't buy the tapes during the year that the broadcast is broadcast in, then at the end of the year we have a sale. After that sale's over, you can't buy those tapes anymore.
You're done.
That's it.
Yep. Great job. You come in good here in Yuma up until, actually, best time to tune in is like 8 o'clock Mountain Time. Before that, it's a disaster. You got these two religious stations on top of you.
Well, it's not a disaster if you know how to tune that radio right.
Yeah.
because you can tune it in crystal clear.
Yeah.
I can do it right here with an old tube type radio and an analog dial that I have to turn. I can get WBCQ in crystal clear at any time.
Well, I'll just keep trying. I mean, I've got a cheaper type radio.
Well, that's your fault.
Brought well, this finances.
Don't blame WBCQ or shortwave radio.
No, I know. I've worked in radio, so I know what it's like.
Yeah.
So, it's just, I just need to get a better radio.
Need a good antenna and a good radio.
Yep. Thanks, Bill. You're doing a great job.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. 520-333. Whoops. Wait a minute. You're listening to WBCQ Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Bill Cooper?
No, it's Herbie Schwartz.
Herbie Schwartz. I'm listening to Bill Cooper. He's giving out this number.
Yeah, well, who did you think you were going to get?
Bill Cooper.
Well, why did you ask me if this was Bill Cooper?
I'm sorry,
if
man.
If you called my number, who did you think you were going to get?
Bill Cooper.
Well, that's who you got.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Oh, geez.
Paul from Buffalo, New York. You were talking about that gun control stuff earlier today.
Yeah, Paul, I want you to reach behind your right ear.
Yeah.
Feel that little screw back there?
Yeah.
You need to tune it up a little bit.
Tune it up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, we're out of the air now, right?
Good night. The first thing I say is, good evening, you're on the air. If that don't give you a clue, then I don't know what to say. I mean, we could have college classes on what that means if you want to. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, let me cut my radio off. I've been listening to you since 1989, when you was originally on...
You mean... No, I didn't even start broadcasting until 1992, so you weren't... Oh, okay, yeah.
And I also have tapes of you in Atlanta.
Yeah?
That was supposed to be recorded.
What do you mean, wasn't supposed to be recorded?
The guy come out there at the beginning of this said, you're not supposed to record this or tape it or anything.
No,
like
no. The only thing I prohibit is videotaping. Anybody can audio tape any lecture I've ever given.
Oh, okay.
So he lied to you.
No.
The only thing I prohibited was videotaping. I do not allow videotaping of any of my lectures. Audio tapes, fine. Unless I've hired the videotape producer to do it, or unless I'm the one videotaping.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So, your friend told you a little fib. That's okay. Go ahead.
It says you're not allowed to tape this.
Pardon?
It's on the tape. It says you're not supposed to.
Not allowed to videotape.
They didn't play video. You said tape.
Well, I was probably pointing to and talking to somebody in the back with a video camera. It's always been... Good night. Folks, if you want to call up and argue with me about my rules at my lectures, you're wasting your time and mine. I know what my rules are. I have always, at every lecture that I have done, permitted audio taping. I have never allowed videotaping. And whenever I've seen someone with a video camera, I've told them, stop taping. You can't tape this lecture. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. Am I talking loud enough?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to talk about the driver's license, social security number. Yeah, by the way, my name's Sebastian out of South Carolina.
Hi, Sebastian.
Yeah, I had went up, well, to get my license renewed here a few months ago, and they asked for my number, and I refused to give it to them. And then just a few seconds later, the lady told me, well, it don't matter, I have it here anyway. And she read it off to me. I was like, well, what can I do?
But, well, what you can do is you can tell her that you didn't give it to her and you don't know where she got it, but it's illegal for her to get it without your permission. And it's illegal for her to use it without your permission. And if she uses it on that driver's license, you will sue her personally. That's what you should tell her, and then you should actually do it if she does it. And if she denies you a driver's license because you refuse to allow them to use your Social Security number, sue them.
Yeah, and I still haven't really been able to figure out quite how they got it. But the real reason I called, I just thought I'd throw that in because a few people were talking about that, was that with this shooting down in Georgia, I was wondering, I've been trying to catch the news on and off, I'm pretty busy all the time, but I've been wondering if anyone, or maybe you had seen, if when Bill Clinton went out there, if I know some of the things like this in the past has happened, you know, how he presents people with a red rose. I wonder if he's done that out there.
I don't know. I'm not out there. How would I know?
Well, usually they show that on TV or something, because I believe it when the plane went down up in New York a couple years ago. I remember he was out there. Was it on the beach and the people, the red rose? I remember hearing you talking about that.
Yeah.
Being that symbol of international socialism.
Yes.
You know, he gives it to the victims.
Well, it's not always him, but it's somebody.
Somebody. Okay, well, yeah, I was just wondering if anybody heard that. Well, I'm going to get off of here, and thanks for the good job on the show. I like listening to it. I've been listening to you probably. I've heard you on the Alan Handelman show back, probably, was it 89?
Yeah, that's the first time I was on his broadcast. I think it was 89.
Yeah, because I remember when I was still in college, I was working in an old gas station. I used to then listen to that show every Sunday night. But, okay, well, we'll get off here with someone else calling. You have a good evening.
Okay, thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, folks, you've got to study the law. And when people, tell you have to do something that you don't have to do under the law, then you've got to tell them no. And if they deny you a service or deny you your rights because of that, you've got to sue them. That individual. That's what you got to do. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Yes, the actual federal law, federal code that you were...
No, let them look it up.
Well...
I know. You probably know it. I know exactly what it is, but let them look it up.
Without the title.
It's not hard to look up. Not hard to look up at all.
You don't want me to give it out?
No, no. Okay. No, that's everybody's homework assignment tonight. Go find it.
Okay.
You know, there's only so much babysitting we could do. If I could find it, how come they can't find it? If you could find it, how come they can't find it?
Now, you say we should sue them. What about calling the FBI on them? FBI has to...
come on. You think the FBI is going to do that? They're not going to do anything.
By law, don't they have to enforce the law?
Yeah, but they don't have to do it for maybe 10 or 15 years, and by that time, nobody cares anymore.
So you sue them in which court? A federal court?
You sue them in whichever court applies. If it's a state employee, you sue them in state court.
Well, what if it's a dentist who refuses service?
Then you sue him in state court.
Okay.
What do you mean? A dentist is refusing you service because you wouldn't give him a Social Security number?
Right.
He's a gross violator. You got a lot of money coming. How come you don't have him in court already? Oh, it was a couple of years ago?
Well, yeah, I didn't know.
Blew it. After 2 years, you can't sue anybody.
I didn't know about the federal law then anyways, but two different dentists refused unless they gave up the number, and the third one reluctantly went ahead and said okay.
Oh, he was the smart one. He probably already got sued. Yeah, they're going to lose money big time.
Anyways, I don't know if you're catching the news this morning. The principal of the high school in Georgia was being interviewed about the shooting, and he was asked a stupid question, of course, by the media. How do you feel about guns? He was asked. And this guy has some common sense. He came back with, I don't care about guns. I want to know if this kid was on Ritalin or something.
Hey, there you go. I like him. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's been to my website. He listens to this broadcast. You'd be surprised how many people listen to this broadcast. It would absolutely, truly amaze you.
Yeah. No, I'm the guy that called last week, and you kind of got a little loud at me. And I was bringing up something that Gary North had said. I know that Gary North is in the business of selling survival stuff, and so he's going to play up fears and people's minds about the Y2K thing, and I asked about the nuclear. I was just running it by you what you thought about nuclear plants and whether they could keep the water running because it's run by computers and all.
And I explained it to you very nicely in a very calm tone of voice.
No, I got loud
with you, and I raised my voice when you absolutely refused to understand what I was telling you.
I was just trying
about 10 minutes later.
I was just trying to make the point that, yes, I'm sure that the people involved in nuclear power, they have to live in the same area themselves. I'm sure they're concerned about it.
They don't live in the same area. They work in the plant that you're saying is going to blow up. It ain't going to blow up. If it was, they wouldn't be working there. And that's what you couldn't get through your thick head.
But the point is that I'm also sure that the gentlemen who, or the people who designed and worked at Chernobyl and Three Mile Island were also concerned about their own safety and health.
Well, that was an accident at those, both of those two places, with no advance warning.
Okay.
Everybody in the world has advance warning on Y2K, and they know right now whether that plant's going to work or not.
Well, computer problem, tell me, you heard what just happened with Lockheed, right?
I'll tell you what. If you want to sell Y2K and the nuclear power plants are going to blow up, go get a newsletter or radio show and you sell it to whoever you want. You can't sell it to me. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You certainly are. And you're not going to get away with it. 520-333-4578. Chernobyl was an accident, folks. Nobody had any warning whatsoever. Three Mile Island was an accident. No one had any warning whatsoever. If they had known what was going to happen, they would have got the hell out of there. Everybody in the world has warning on Y2K. Everybody who works in every single nuclear power plant in the world knows whether it's going to work at 1 second past the stroke of midnight of the year 2000, or whether it's not going to work. They know if it's going to blow up or if it's not going to blow up. And if they even had the slightest suspicion, they'd be shutting those plants down right this moment, and they're not doing it. Now, if you want to fly in the face of common sense and reason, that's fine. But it don't work here. You're not going to stir my audience up into mass hysteria over a bunch of bullshit. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill.
You don't
have two questions.
Whoa. You don't have to scream anymore. We got this brand new Gintner here.
Oh, okay.
You're not on the speakerphone now.
Okay, good. I got two questions for you.
Okay.
One, do you know of any Masonic involvement in terms of the legislation that was passed by the Senate, i.e., was this dreamt up possibly in the lodge? And another thing, I want to know if you have any information of the Masons in terms of the involvement of Bo Greitz, Carl Miller, and Mark Kornke as being possible Masons. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you have to say.
I don't know anything about Miller and Kornke, whether or not they're connected with Freemasonry. Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz is a, well, let me put it this way. In 1989, he was a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. I heard him say it with my own ears, out of his own mouth. And we have a picture around here that appeared on the cover of a magazine with Bo Greitz in his full dress uniform wearing the Masonic ring. And one of these days, we'll release that to the world. But not until we're ready. We're collecting a dossier on that man that's about 40 miles long, and it just gets longer every day. I don't know which legislation you're talking about, whether it came out of the lodge, and how would I know? All I know is who sponsors the bill. In other words, who claims to have written it, and who sponsors it. And you can research that and find out if they're Freemasons, but all I can tell you is that the goal of the Brotherhood, which is not just Freemasonry, don't just blame Freemasonry, and don't blame all Freemasons, because the ones at the lower degrees don't even know what the hell they're a part of, and probably don't care, and wouldn't leave the lodge even if you told them, and even if you convinced them that it was true, because that's their life, they love it. They're joiners, and they're glad-handers and backslappers, and they love it, and they get benefits by being members of the lodge. Real tangible benefits. The goal of the Brotherhood as a whole, which is made up of all of the highest degrees of all the so-called fraternal orders, is one world government, the elimination of all existing religions save theirs, and to enslave the entire population of the world. That's their goal. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
John from Worcester, Mass.
Hi, John.
Hi. A few years ago on WWCI, you had talked about the law on Social Security. You don't have to divulge your Social Security number. And I looked up down the U.S. code Section 552A of the...
Whoa. Didn't you just hear me tell another gentleman I didn't want that given out tonight?
Sorry.
Good night. 520-333-4578. So if you guys want to play games, go play somewhere else. I'm not Rush Limbaugh. I'm not Art Bullshit Bell. I'm Bill Cooper. And you ought to know by now, I don't go for this game-playing crap. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yes,
this is Ray in New York. How are you?
All right.
Couple of things very quickly. I'm not going to give the particular act, but I just wanted to mention I was a corpsman in the Navy. And corpsmen are automatically given a classified security clearance for the sole purpose of handling individual military members' social security numbers. Just because they handle those numbers, they're required to get that minimum level of security clearance. And that information is not to be given out. The other thing I just wanted to ask, pertaining to the Y2K situation,
uh-huh.
I'm just curious why the news media is building up such a big thing to get people to go out and start stockpiling. It seems to me that would be against their goals. I mean, you've been asking people to be able to provide for their families during any kind of emergency.
Sure.
But if these people are stockpiling for Y2K, they're stockpiling, should something else occur as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Why would they want people going out and buying a year's supply of food?
The media is not encouraging people to go out and buy a year's supply of food. I've never heard any of the establishment media encourage anybody to do that. But they are whipping up a lot of fear and hysteria over what might happen because of Y2K.
But just to get the public stirred up, one would think that they're going to wind up stockpiling things like everything from candles and blankets to food.
What individuals do is their own business. You said the media was encouraging them to do that, and the media is not encouraging them to do that. The only people you'll find encouraging others to do that are people who are making tremendous profits off of it. And most of them are on these so-called Patriot radio shows. But you'll never hear anybody on ABC, NBC, CBS, or CNN encourage anybody to go stockpile anything. They've never done it, and they never will.
Well, in New York City, I've been watching all the different, not so much the news media, but the various commercials. Some are poking fun specifically at those that do stockpile. But there are other commercials that are putting the bug in the ear, not specifically telling you to go out and prepare, but trying to get people to think what they need to do just in case.
What's a commercial do?
Well, it tries to get you to buy something.
Oh, wow. You get the gold pin today. What did I tell you a while ago? The only people encouraging anyone to do that are people who are making tons of money on this. Tons of it. Literally.
But at the same time, from a larger viewpoint...
Why don't you cut to the chase and tell me what you're trying to convince me to believe?
I'm not trying to convince you to believe anything. I'm just curious why they're even pushing such a...
sell products, to get rich, to make billions of dollars.
But does it, at the same time, don't these people... Aren't all these people that are stockpiling and getting prepared... Isn't that what they don't want?
What who don't want? If I'm in business selling survival gear, our candles, our sleeping bags, our food storage, I want you to buy as much of it as you possibly can so I can get rich.
The Illuminati does not want people. They're making money off this as well?
Excuse me. Are you playing with a full deck of cards?
Most of the time, sir.
Most of the time. It doesn't sound like it tonight. Let me say this again. If somebody's got something to sell, and they can get you to buy it, they're going to do that.
Well, I don't want to take any more of your time tonight. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Where did these people come from? Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. The news media is saying 3 to 5, 7, maybe 6 days worth of food. They don't want you to stock up any food, but they want you to have a temporary Band-Aid.
Yeah.
They want you to have a Band-Aid, so you just remember Hurricane Andrew? They tracked this storm for 4 days before it hit Florida, and they let those people fend for themselves for over a week.
Yep, that's right.
So do they really care?
No, of course they don't care.
Did you see scumbag Schumer holding his, he was biting behind his thumb. He was laughing so hard he had to control himself next to the Gore. He was so happy he was wetting his pants.
It wasn't just Schumer. It was Gore, too. And Schumer and Gore were so happy that that guy walked in that school this morning and shot those students. They couldn't contain themselves.
They were absolutely...
They had grins like the Cheshire Cat. If I wasn't on radio, I'd say they had blankety-blank grins.
They had also reported that the boy had a pump 22 caliber rifle. Well, there's no such thing. Now, what it may have been...
Yes, well, wait a minute. Yes, there is.
A pump 22?
My daughter has a pump 22. Bought it for her 6th birthday.
It's just a regular 22 caliber long rifle.
Yes, a pump.
Oh, I stand corrected, but the other weapon was a pellet pistol.
It was a pistol.
Right, the pistol was a pellet pistol.
It doesn't matter what kind of pistol it was. A pellet pistol will kill you.
I'm saying they usually go out of the way to tell you what it was, like an assault weapon.
Oh, they'd never go out of the way to tell you what it is. They call everything an assault weapon, no matter what it is.
Yeah, but now they're just saying a rifle and a pistol.
Yeah, well, they'd probably get nailed. Who knows?
Excellent show. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, pellet pistol will kill you, ladies and gentlemen. I have one. You pump it up enough, it'll kill you. So that's dangerous. You know, it doesn't matter. If something will kill you, it's dangerous. But it's not an assault weapon until it's used as for an assault. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill.
In other words, if I use a knife to slice you up, that's an assault knife. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Bill, I just finished listening to a talk you gave at a seminar. Tape titled The Origin, Identity, and Purpose of MJ-12. And I guess the gist of the entire tape was that the government is in collusion with extraterrestrial aliens.
Good night. Boy, these guys are just trying it tonight, aren't they? That's a lie, what he just said, ladies and gentlemen. The purpose of the lecture was to tell people what I saw in documents while I was a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence on the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet. It's all in my book, every bit of it. It doesn't work, folks. My book was written during the 80s. It was published December of 1990. If you'll read conclusion number 5 at the end of the chapter on UFOs, it says clearly that I believe that the whole ufology movement is the biggest hoax ever created to promulgate an artificial alien threat to this earth to facilitate the formation of one world government. I'm not a ufologist. I don't belong to the Church of Ufology. I have never known in my entire life whether aliens exist or not. I can tell you absolutely there is no proof in this entire world that there are any aliens anywhere in the universe, much less that they have ever visited this earth. Good evening. You're on the air.
This is Bob from Michigan.
Okay, now what kind of bullshit are you going to pull?
Well, actually, I wanted to talk about General Wesley Clark at Waco.
Okay.
I saw you got that on your website. You picked that up pretty quick.
Yeah.
From Counterpunch.
Go ahead.
I hope that there's some more research done in that area. I guess the question wasn't fully answered what his role there was. I felt back at the time that whoever the military figure in the botched ATF raid would be out to cover up the evidence of the bullet holes coming down through the roof of the church.
Well, that's what they did when they burned it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the metal door, since it wouldn't burn, it disappeared. So they actually had to go in and dig that out and find it and cart it away. Because that proved that the initial shots were fired from the outside through the door, not from the inside out, as they claimed.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope that they don't Wacoize Serbia.
Well, I think they're already doing that. I mean, how many bombs can they drop?
They're running out of targets.
Well, they can never run out of targets. I mean, they're carpet bombing now. Did you know that? Have you ever seen carpet bombing?
Pictures.
I saw it in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. It is terrifying. Nothing can live under that. And it's just where these planes fly over and drop bombs in a straight line, side by side, like forever. And you just... Yeah. You got it. Yeah, I'd sit on the Quaviet River in the daytime when I had the day patrol, which wasn't very often. We usually had what we called a screw-up crew was assigned to the day patrol because it was too dangerous to patrol at night. But every once in a while, they had to have a rest. So one of us other boats would have to go and do the day patrol, and I'd sit there and we could just look across the DMZ and watch them carpet bomb North Vietnam, and it was just absolutely terrifying. I don't know how the population withstood that kind of thing. I really don't. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd say something that's crazier than some of your callers tonight is Wesley Clark, Madeleine Albright, and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, they're nuts.
Yeah. When this country's got to stand up and...
Yeah, could you put the mouthpiece in front of your mouth, please?
Yeah.
That's better.
Stated.
Even with the Gittner, folks, if you got the mouthpiece somewhere else other than in front of your mouth, it's not going to work very well.
Yeah, this is an old phone. It doesn't work too good. I don't know. I keep hoping that some people in the military or something like that, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They're there to follow orders, but they're there to not commit war crimes as well.
Yeah, well, they've committed enough of those.
Yeah, well, let's hope that they can stand up and draw the line somewhere.
They'll draw the line when they have their world government. That's when they'll draw the line.
Oh, jeez. Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm glad to hear you back on the air.
Thanks for calling.
Yep. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, former NSA employee, Paul from Buffalo, New York.
Hello, Paul. What can I do
for you? Yeah, I tried to call you earlier when you told me you were Herbie Schwartz. It's kind of difficult to turn down a radio here when you're trying to dial the number at the same time. Didn't know you were time delayed. You were talking about gun control earlier. I just wondered if you knew we had a killing up here in Salamanca, New York. A 16-year-old boy took a dog collar and choked a 39-year-old woman.
Oh, we've got to outlaw dog collars.
Yeah.
We've got to get this on national television. We've got to outlaw those dog collars because that's an assault collar.
That's exactly right. When are they going to put it on the assault weapons ban? And how come you're not hearing this all over the nation?
I don't know, but we've got to stop children from getting their hands on dog collars.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a dangerous weapon that, and you know, probably why nobody's heard of. They didn't want copycat dog collar stranglings.
There's no legislation in Congress to a federal bill to outlaw dog collars now.
I don't know, but there sure ought to be.
Thanks for taking my call, Bill, and you keep up the good work, you hear?
You're welcome.
From one intelligent guy to another. Bye bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. So that was the guy. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Bill.
No, it's George.
I know, Bill. This is Bob from New Jersey.
Hi, Bob.
I just wanted to bring up a couple of points. If someone has an older Social Security number or Social Security card, if you look on the bottom in large red letters, it says for Social Security purposes only, not for identification.
That's right.
And they tried to make me submit it for a driver's license, for employment, for bank accounts, and so on and so forth, and it's... They can't do it. It's unnecessary.
No, they can do it. Not only does federal law enacted after the Social Security Act say you don't have to, but the Social Security Act itself clearly says that that number is not to be used for anything other than Social Security purposes. Period.
That's totally correct. Also, as far as all this scuttlebutt that's going on around the nuclear power plants,
yeah,
my son works at a nuclear power plant, and they have safeguards upon safeguards upon safeguards.
Yeah, I know that, and you know that, and your son knows
even
that.
Even if something goes wrong, they have safeguards that'll kick in and, you know, pick it up.
Yeah.
So, they're not going to blow up.
No, they're
because
not.
This one's only 4 miles from my house. I hope it doesn't blow up.
No, they won't blow up because of Y2K.
I wouldn't think so.
If it does blow up, it'll be an accident that nobody could foresee, and it'll probably be multiple failure of all the safeguard systems, and those things can happen. But,
and I heard you talking about blanket bombing, so I assume you saw the same B-52s I did.
Well, could be, yeah. Could be. Were you on the DMZ?
No further up than Quezon.
That's on the DMZ.
It's pretty close.
The river I patrolled went right by the bottom of the mountain you were on top of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you have a good evening, sir.
You too. Thanks for calling. Yeah. The river that I patrolled went right up, right around the bottom of the mountain Quezon sat on top of. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is John in Longview, Texas.
Hi, John.
What might be your opinion or explanation on how these school shootings may be connected and how are the shooters prompted to carry out these darn shootings and then kill themselves forevermore?
They're programmed to do it.
Okay. You may want to kind of expand on that a little bit and I'll hang up and just listen.
Well, I've done that on many broadcasts.
We've
had many broadcasts. We've had the Mind Control series. We had a series on Dr. Lewis Jolyon West and the Newer Psychiatric Institute of UCLA. We had a series done by the, I can't remember the name of the paper, but it's a newspaper in California that did a series on the mind control programs that were being conducted in the California state prison system on prisoners. Charles Manson was in that program. One of the supervisors of one of those programs got programmed himself and later became Sink in the Symbionese Liberation Army. He was the head of that little group that kidnapped Patty Hearst. And I could go on and on and on and on. Yeah, they're programmed. And you'll find that every one of them are either ex-mental patients on some kind of prescription psychiatric drug, such as Ritalin or Prozac, or the one that this Harris boy has been revealed to have been taking, and either used to be or still are under the care of a mental health care professional.
Well, it's an atrocity.
Yes, it is.
But
they're programmed. And they're programmed to go off and do these things when they receive some kind of an audio visual stimulus. Now, if you want to see how that works, go watch the movie The Manchurian Candidate and understand that that movie is based upon actual real brainwashing and mind control experiments that were conducted by not only the United States, but the Soviet Union, the North Koreans, and many other governments of the world.
Well, do you think these kids are already targeted in advance to be a candidate for this kind of thing?
Children.
I don't know
if they choose specific children because of some personality profile that they exhibit, or if these are victims of opportunity. But they are victims. They're just as much victims as the people that they shoot.
Well, that kind of enlightens everybody maybe a little bit on, it's hard to tie this together.
Well, yeah, it's hard to tie it together, and some of it is just so absolutely way out from what people traditionally have been taught to believe and understand that it's almost impossible for the average person to accept it.
Well, any explanation. That's true, especially the mind control.
Right? Yeah. But it's all there, and it's all in the public domain, and we've researched it and revealed it and documented it and sourced it for anybody that wants to look. It's all there, and I just shudder to think what they're able to do that's so top secret that we don't even know about that.
Exactly. And the end result, like you say, is total disarmament.
Yeah, what's been declassified and what's available that we can find out is so terrifying that what we don't know about that's still classified is just, I shudder to think about that stuff.
I do too. Thanks for a super program.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for your super call.
All right, thanks.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I want to know how my Social Security number went from being my personal number used to supplement my income, which was only intended for in retirement, to being used to rent movies now.
It's simple. They ask you for it, and you give it to them.
But how did this go to everything I do now revolving around my life?
Around
this number.
Just like I said, the people who are doing these things, they don't know any more about the law than you do, or than you did if you know about it now. Okay? So they have a big idea one day. Wow. You know, instead of inventing some kind of weird filing system, everybody's got a Social Security number. We'll just use their Social Security number. And then if they refuse to pay us, we can go after them with their Social Security number. They can't get away. And you go in and they tell you all about their new filing system and tell them you got to give them your Social Security number and you give it to them. Nobody ever challenges it. Everybody gives them their Social Security number and that's exactly how it happens.
Now I get this itemized bill at the end of the month from my credit card company stating everywhere I spent my money, where I spent it on gas, what department stores I spent it at. Where's all this going?
Well, read my books in chapter 1. It tells you absolutely where it's all going.
And who's pushing these fat media cats like this fat pig Rosie O'Donnell advocating them?
Well, let's
spokesman against
gun
control.
Let's call her, you know, anything in the world but a fat pig.
It's true.
What's true?
The fat pig thing.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are overweight that might look just like Rosie O'Donnell that I would never call a fat pig. I mean, this is...
I could care less. Weight isn't the issue here.
Well, it certainly is. If you're calling her a fat pig, she is overweight. But go ahead.
Well, anyways, I see you're ambushing people, a spokesman for the NRA and gun advocates, ambushing them on her show, like deer in headlights.
Yeah, she is. And you know what's going to happen?
It's ridiculous.
You know what's going to happen if she keeps doing it? She'll have no guests on her show.
I have to doubt that, seeing that all the Hollywood, the major, and it seems like the major push in all media is for gun control.
People
have never really worked hard in their lives for anything.
Oh, but there's an unwritten rule in Hollywood. You don't ambush your guests. And if you do, you don't have guests.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome. Now, I don't know if they'll back that up, but that's one of the rules in Hollywood, is that if you want to have guests on your show, you don't ambush them. You treat them nice. That's how Barbara Walters gets interviews with all these famous, marvelous people. She guarantees that she's not going to embarrass them or ambush them. And she tells them what questions she's going to ask in advance. And so they know it's safe to be interviewed by Barbara Walters. If they didn't believe that, they wouldn't go in there and be interviewed by her in a million years. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Jim from Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Jim.
I was just wondering, when do you feel the self-destruct mechanism was initiated in the United States?
What do you mean, self-destruct?
Morality, corruption.
Corruption.
I remember when I was...
Corruption is a human trait, not a United States trait.
Well, I agree with you there.
Corruption exists everywhere that it's allowed to exist.
That was a bad choice of words. However, what I meant was, I remember back in the 70s, when you watched a television program, you didn't see any nudity, you didn't hear of any foul language, and now it seems like everything goes...
Well, I'd say the disintegration of the moral and ethical standards in this country probably began when President Kennedy was shot and people got this sort of sense of helplessness and political impotence. You know, if they can kill the president, what good does it even do to vote? I mean, it destroyed the political will of the country. and then coupled with the attack upon religion and morality itself, as a matter of fact, things just went downhill from then.
Do you think the pendulum swung the other way?
Pendulum always swings the other way. You look back through history and you'll see the pendulum always swings, and it always swings to extremes. So if it swings way over to the right, it will eventually swing way back over to the left. There's always a backlash if things get radical, and the backlash can be terrible. And so, yeah, the pendulum will swing back the other way. You can bet on it. You'll see that there'll be a period of long hair. All of a sudden, wow, the next, when the pendulum swings, long hair is not cool anymore. You've got to have short hair. When they have mini skirts, when you see the pendulum swing back the other way, all the girls are wearing long dresses. And it works that way politically and with just about everything that you can think of. The pendulum swings. Yes, it does. If it's swinging a little bit to the right, it'll swing back a little bit to the left. If it swings a little bit more to the right the next time, it'll swing a little bit more to the left the next time. When you have these big radical swings like we're having right now, way over to the radical, wild, communist left, you can bet your boots that when it swings way over to the right, there's going to be hell to pay. Literally hell to pay. I don't even want to be around when it happens. Tell you the truth, it's going to be terrible. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, just study history, folks. You know, where I get most of my knowledge is from studying history, something that most people just don't want to do. And you got to make sure that you don't just stick with the establishment view of history. You got to get into all kinds of weird publications and books and go back to that time period and try to read the actual things that were printed then. And then you begin to get an idea of what was really going on. If you don't do that, you don't have a clue. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Nick. Am I coming through all right?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I just wanted to throw in my 2 cents worth on Y2K and nuclear power plants.
Uh-huh.
I used to work at one. As a matter of fact, my undergraduate degree is nuclear engineering. So I don't know what people get all excited about. Nuclear plants cannot blow up. They're not designed to blow up. There's all kinds of analog safety systems, redundant and sometimes three backup systems for the safety system that control the operation of the core and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and it doesn't solely rely on computers. Everything that can be done manually without computers.
Right, that's absolutely true.
That's what these people don't understand. I mean, they're just running around in this, the sky is falling, oh, we're all going to die, the nuclear power plant's going to blow up, everything's going to, trains will never run again, my car will never start again, there won't be any water in the pipes.
Well, you know, on the other hand, though,
why wouldn't there be water in the pipes? I'd kick the hell out of the computer, I'd throw it down the mountain, and I'd open the valve.
Got a point on that. But I mean, again, on the other hand, though, it's kind of foolish or kind of assuming too much to think we're not going to have any problems. But what we've done as a country in the past, whenever we've had problems, we've always rolled up our sleeves and hit it head on.
Sure, I'm sure there's going to be some problems and some interruption of service, but, you know, it'll be back up and working within from 2 or 3 days to 2 weeks. But so what? You're inconvenienced for 2 weeks. Oh, my goodness, the world is coming to an end.
No, that's true. You're absolutely right. That's the way a lot of people think. And I'll tell you what, though, I'm not...
You know what they are? They're adrenaline freaks. They love being scared to death. And they listen to all these radio talk show hosts who will give them that adrenaline rush when they scare the living hell out of them.
Right.
And they never learn when they find out the guy lied to them already 400 times. Here he's telling them another lie, and they're still believing him and getting scared again.
That's true. Well, I like your show. I listen to it every night as often as I can.
Thank you.
And I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. I'm William Cooper. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. This is the last bastion of truth and free speech, probably in the whole world. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, this is Steve in Malibu.
Hi, Steve.
I was wondering if your listeners might be interested in having Rosie O'Donnell's producer's number, then they can just air their opinions right to the source.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Give that number out. Yeah.
Yes, this is not the comment line. This is a real person. You get a real person at this number. It's in New York. It's 212. 5-0-6-3-2-0-0.
Boy, are they going to be surprised.
Well, you know, give them a jingle, let them know what you think.
Thanks. Is that the surf I hear in the background? Or is that traffic on the highway?
No, I've got a fan going here.
Oh, it's the fan. Okay. I can hear something back there.
Yep. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for calling. Malibu. That's Gidget Land. Well, it used to be. I don't think it is anymore. I don't know. It used to be where the, you know, you go down there to watch the surfers in California. Okay. Rosie O'Donnell's producers. Number. Area code 212-506-3200. Now, nobody's going to be there till tomorrow during working hours, and that's when you should call. 212-506-3200. Ask for the Rosie O'Donnell producer, and then tell her what you think about Rosie O'Donnell and gun control politely. Don't call anybody any names, and don't use any profanity. Thank you very much. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Greg from Texas.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. Listened to your show since probably 92. And the question I always wanted to ask you, how did you come about choosing the name, the hour, the time for your radio show?
Tell you the truth, I don't remember. But I wanted a name for the broadcast. I do remember this. I wanted a name for the broadcast that would reflect the seriousness of the content. And the hour of the time just, to me, just fit that perfectly.
Is it something you kind of just pulled out of the blue? Or?
I don't remember exactly where I pulled it from, but I didn't get it from anybody else. I just don't remember the reasoning process that I used to come up with that name.
Okay, I was just curious. Hey, I've never heard it anywhere before. I've seen on, I have a 1934... Unabridged Dictionary of Webster's, and they've got some colored plates, and they have, I guess they call it emblems of fraternities.
Yeah.
And they have the Order of the Elks, and it's got an elk, and in the background it has a clock. And the clock is, I think it's sort of like at 11:55 or something like that.
Yeah, right before midnight.
Right before midnight.
Yeah.
I was looking at that, and that made me think of...
The sayings of the fraternal orders. The Illuminati uses this term whenever they want to spark a revolution. And you're going to hear this a lot in this country. In fact, you already have, and you don't realize. You'll see it in advertisements. You'll hear radio show hosts use it.
Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Yes.
It was used to spark the French Revolution. It was used to spark the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. It was used in Cuba.
Didn't the Republican Party use that at one time?
I don't remember ever hearing it from the Republican Party.
Maybe I'm wrong. I just thought I remember either during a Reagan-Bush campaign that I might have heard that.
I don't remember hearing it.
Okay, one more question. I've always wanted to ask you this because you served in war, in the Vietnam War. And I just want to know your opinion on what was the purpose of the Vietnam War? You know, from the New World Order standpoint.
It had two purposes. One was to protect the source of heroin in the Golden Triangle, and the second was the oil in the Gulf of Tonkin in the South China Sea.
So that's what it's about.
Yeah. It's also another... see, at Yalta, Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt agreed never to have another major confrontation between major powers in the world, that all wars would be fought in third world nations, and there would never be any territorial gain.
Oh, okay, I see.
Okay, so that's what they do, and they do it to keep the population focused on other things rather than what they should be focused on. It serves as a method of population control in the world. It also generates huge sums of money and gives them a way to practice different methods of warfare and controlling populations so that they can pick the very best for their coming utopian enslaved world.
Yeah, right. They can experiment with the latest weapons technology, I guess.
Latest weapons technology, propaganda methods of controlling and manipulating populations, You know, how much tax will the people stand before they, you know, raise holy hell? You know, how many soldiers can they, you know, get killed before the population won't support their efforts anymore? And that's one reason why, you know, they're practicing cowardice in Yugoslavia.
Right.
They send a plane up and it fires a missile from 500 miles away. The people that this missile blows up never even know the plane's there, you know.
Right. One more thing that just came to mind when you said missile.
And they keep talking about these brave pilots. These pilots aren't brave. They don't take any risk except mechanical failure in this war.
Right. It's just kind of an automatic thing, I guess.
It's a bunch of crap.
Well, I'm sure they're experimenting with some weapons. We don't have any idea what they are. But when you said missile, Ronnie, one more thing, then I'll let you go get somebody else on here. I was reading an article from WorldNet Daily on the Internet about a retired Navy commander. I can't remember his name. I think it's Donaldson.
Yes. TWA 800?
Huh?
TWA 800?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's really got a, they did a 3-part series and they did some interviews.
He's absolutely right. I said from day one, I was sitting there watching it, and the night that TWA Flight 800 crashed, and they showed a videotape that somebody on the beach had taken. It shows the missile come right up out of the water and go up and hit the plane and blow it up. They showed the videotape, and I'm sitting there. I wasn't taping, and I could have killed myself.
See, I didn't know you. That was on network TV. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, it was on network TV. It was on CNN. I was watching it.
But the night it happened, I remember telling my wife, because the Olympics were on, I said, come listen to these people. They're interviewing eyewitnesses on Long Island.
Yeah.
And there was a lady, and she described just what you said.
Yeah, there was.
She described a missile.
There was 220 some odd witnesses who saw the missile come up out of the water, or fired from something on the water, and go up and blow that plane up. And then one of them was shooting videotape, and shot a videotape of the missile going up and hitting the plane. And they showed that on CNN, and then they never showed it again.
What is your? I know you don't like to speculate, but. Who do you think did that?
Remember in the Gulf?
Yeah.
What did one of our ships do?
What, during the Gulf War?
No. In the Gulf, over there. One of our ships fired a missile and did what?
Took a passenger plane down?
Shot down a passenger plane. Who did that passenger plane belong to?
Iran,
that's right. And we were not having good relations with Iran, were we?
No.
But right after somebody shot TWA Flight 800 down with a missile, guess what happened? We started having good relationships with Iran again, didn't we?
We sure did.
It's tit for tat, my friend. We gave them an airplane full of people.
Okay. I never thought about that. Okay, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
That happens quite often in the underworld of diplomacy, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I got a couple questions about the hierarchy of the Catholic Church post-1958 conclave.
Yeah.
Now, I have some information that's been presented to me by a gentleman whose son is a famous actor.
You need to turn your radio off.
Okay, there.
Can't get away with that. No matter how low you turn it, it gets feedback.
His son is a famous actor, and he has presented information to me of Jean-Baptiste Montini, a.k.a. Anti-Pope Paul.
Oh, Montini.
And his involvement in the Masonic Lodge in Milan, Italy.
It's not just Montini. The whole Vatican has been infiltrated by the Lodge, and they now control the hierarchy of the Catholic Church.
I agree. John Paul II, what do you think? Mason? Possibly?
Definitely Illuminati.
And this fellow Malachi Martin, I think this guy is probably a double agent.
Malachi Martin is a Jesuit.
Well, yeah, the Jesuits were good at one time.
Well, wait a minute.
300 years ago.
Wait a minute. Have you studied the history of the Jesuit order?
Well, I know there's problems with it.
No.
White Top was a Jesuit, was he not?
Weishaupt was a Jesuit, and everybody thinks that he left the Jesuit order to create the Illuminati. He came out of the Illuminati to found a secular branch of the Illuminati.
I did know that, yes. But
did you know that Ignatius Loyola was the head of the Illuminati in the country of Spain during the Inquisition? He was the leader of the Alumbrados, which was the Spanish branch of the Illuminati. He was captured, arrested, taken in for torture by the Inquisition because of it. He used his influence through his Illuminati circles to gain an audience with the Pope. He went out on his knees as a prisoner of the Inquisition and came out as the first, what?
Jesuit.
As the first Inspector General of the Jesuit order.
Take me to your leader, I guess. Well, could you answer the question about Malachi Martin? I mean, do you have any background information on him?
All I know is that he wouldn't have written that book without permission and he's been on Carvel
several times.
Yeah, but he wrote that. He's writing his books with the permission of the Vatican.
Yes.
If he did not, he would have been disciplined by the Vatican and maybe have his orders taken away from him.
Now, the gentleman he was under when he really rose to power in the Vatican was that Augustine Bear, Father Augustine Bear, who was made a cardinal by anti-Pope John the 23rd,
mm-hmm.
who is also a Mason. I've seen a picture of him in the Masonic Lodge. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, I have.
In 1935 in Paris. But Augustine Bear was a very big Freemason, I know.
Yeah.
That's
why all of the changes in the Catholic Church have occurred, and why the Catholic Church is leaving its traditional ceremonies and beliefs and becoming much more liberal, and it's part of an overall ecumenical move by all the different religions, which will ultimately result in them coming into the New World Order religion, which basically is man is God.
God dethroned and man enthroned.
Right.
So would you buy the...
By the way, none of the regular Catholics really know any of this and would be extremely angry if they even heard it.
Well, my own mother would be.
Yeah.
But there's what is Catholic and what is not Catholic, and John Paul II is not a Catholic.
No, he's not.
There's no doubt about that. One final thing. Would you say that Rome is probably where the one world religion will take place then, with an anti-pope as the head of it?
The one world religion resides in two places, a place called the Crown and Washington, D.C.
Is that the Masonic Temple in Alexandria?
No.
No, it's in D.C.
In Washington, D.C.,
okay.
Yeah. I'm talking about the whole enclave of Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. The whole damn thing, huh?
The whole damn thing. and in a place called the Crown, which is the one-mile square portion of London which encloses the Masonically controlled financial district.
Uh-huh.
That's known. When they talk about the Crown, they're not talking about the Queen. They're talking about this one-mile square district of London known as the City of London.
And is that where the four Grand Lodges were in 1717 when they first came out?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. You've really been a help with this.
You're welcome. Yeah, well, that's the easy stuff, the research. I mean, that stuff is really the easy stuff. You know what? We're out of time. I don't even have time to do a music rollout, folks. So good night. God bless you all. There's no music at the end of this one. Sorry. Ran over time. You're listening to 101.1 FM, Eager.